David, I gotta come clean.
Uh-oh, what have you done?
I'm being a little bit of a bad boy tonight.
A bad boy? Is that why your shirt's off?
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Oddity Archive with Evan and David.
How are you being a bad boy tonight, Pumpkin?
So, you know our it, Ottoman?
Oh, yeah, Ottoman. He helped me out with tonight's episode, actually.
He helped you out?
Yeah. Did he help you out?
Oh, he didn't tell me that.
Oh.
Ottoman? I don't know if he's here. So I sent him to a mixology class. And by sent, I mean I paid for it, but I'll take it out of his paycheck.
Okay. His non-existent paycheck.
Which will now be negative because we don't pay him.
He owes us money.
Yeah, he owes me money now for a class that I sent him to.
Okay.
So sent him to a mixology class, made me a little G&T, and I told him, like, hold back on the tonic. Just go full gin.
So you just have a full glass of gin with you tonight?
Yeah. So by the end of this episode, I might be asleep or, I mean, I can't get more nude because, as you can see... I'm already there, but I know you said tonight's episode would be a little more laid back, a little fun, so I figured I would just lean into that energy and be naked and hammered.
I appreciate that. Did we go Beef Eater?
I'm a Bombay Sapphire kind of guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a go-to.
I feel like whenever you tell people you have gin, no one ever thinks it's classy, but I used to drink, what was it, back in college?
Oh, God.
It was advertised at the ABC store as the cheapest priced handle in all of Virginia.
It was advertised that way.
I think Barton's gin.
Barton's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lowest shelf. Like, you basically had to dig in the ground to go buy it. And it was terrible, but I think it was like $9 to $13 for a handle.
Whoa.
So for a while, I had to take a break from gin because that was seared in my head.
I can understand that.
So now I came back and, you know, Sapphire, it's got to be good.
Yeah.
Right?
It is good. That's a good gin.
Yeah. So now I'm back.
Okay.
And yeah, we'll see how tonight goes.
I do have a gin story that I can share.
Yeah. Yeah. What you got?
So years ago, probably 7 or 8 years ago, there was a small distillery in Richmond called James River Distillery.
Okay.
And it was like in an industrial complex. It was not a big distillery. They did not make a lot of supply. But we went and visited and, you know, you could have samples or a mixed drink or something and like try what they make, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And I really, really, really enjoyed their gin. So, you know, whenever I'd see it at the ABC store, I'd pick up a bottle of it and they ended up closing.
Mm-hmm. I'll say the name sounded familiar, but yeah.
And so I went on Virginia's ABC website and they have like all the stock and all their stores listed and everything. And because they closed and they're like just trying to get rid of it, they were all half priced.
Honey, get in the car.
You're not wrong. Long story short, I ended up buying 10 bottles of this gin at half price. My wife and I will, you know, have a drink here and there, but we're not like heavy drinkers.
Yeah.
That was probably 3 or 4 years ago. And I think we still have 7 bottles of it left.
Oh, see, like a gin cellar kind of thing going.
Yeah, I have like just a mass amount of gin in the house right now that I just keep stowed away. And when we finish a bottle, I just bring another one right out.
Yeah, anytime the kids are a little too loud, you're like, okay, I'll be right back. And you're like down in the cellar, just like taking a little nip.
I like that I have a cellar in this universe.
This is when we've made it. We both just have our cellars full of fancy liquids.
Well, I just keep it in the crawl space.
Okay.
Go down.
Different kind of vibe. Yeah.
Push all the cave crickets out of the way. Just, you know, get my next bottle of gin.
Yeah. I feel like Richmond has a few pretty good distilleries around. Reservoir.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
I guess you can't call it bourbon if it's not in Kentucky, right?
No, bourbon is anything in America.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think there's a vodka place.
Cirrus? Cirrus Vodka?
Yeah, maybe that.
I think that's what it is.
But I just, vodka's the one I can't come back to.
Yeah, ooh.
Too much Burnett's.
Burnett's. But if it's cherry flavored, it's good.
We would do pink lemonade, and I've just seen too many friends with it coming out the same color it went in.
Oh my
and
God.
It's just, it's not good. But yeah, but back on the gin train.
Okay.
And it sounds like you're in that club too.
Yeah.
So that's my vibe for tonight.
Okay. Gin vibe.
I'm excited to see what you have for me. I'm coming in very dark on this one.
Yeah, you're coming in completely blind.
Yeah.
I do want to say we're recording this before Christmas, but it'll be coming out after Christmas. So I hope both of us and all the listeners have a good Christmas, a good New Year's. Everybody stays safe.
Yeah.
And everybody got what they wanted from Santa Claus.
Ooh. Anything you have on your wish list? You're hoping that next episode you can say that you got?
Yeah. So I recently, and you know this because you're the one that told me which one to buy. I recently bought a record player.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, I need a physical component to my music again. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to just all live digitally on my phone.
Yeah.
I want a tactile experience with music again.
It's a great way, too, to just make yourself listen to a full album. I feel like I just kind of got away from that and I missed hearing a full 50-minute idea. So it's a good way to get back into that.
Yeah. And so I bought that owning zero records. Mm-hmm. It came in the mail and I was like, okay, I can't use it because I don't have any. And so my Christmas list, I basically just wrote down a bunch of records that I hope people buy me.
Is it like 12 MF Doom albums?
Yeah, you know, Mad Villainy, Food, all the MF Doom albums. But yeah, so we'll see what I get. Next episode, I'll report back on which ones I received.
Yeah, if next episode you're just shunning your wife, we know that she was weak on her record selection.
What's on your Christmas list?
A knife.
Okay, it's bold.
No, I used to have a good pocket knife. I don't know what happened to it, but it's one of those things you just don't really think about on the day-to-day, but then when you need, you're like, where's that knife at? Some kitchen stuff.
I'm glad you didn't go like a knife, rope, yeah, duct tape,
and a rental car. No, but I feel like I'm at this age where you kind of just buy stuff as you think you really want it or need it. In your 20s, you're like, all right, Christmas comes, I'm going to finally get that thing because dad will buy it.
Yeah.
But now I kind of just, you know, I'm impatient and I just get it for myself.
Yeah.
There's always some movies on there. I feel like I've had Kingdom of Heaven Blu-ray director's cut on my Christmas list for maybe 6 years and still haven't gotten it. And at this point, I feel like I can't buy it for myself. It's like a test to my family.
You need someone to get it for you.
Yeah. If somebody doesn't get it this year, I'm going to freak out and tilt over the tree.
Okay.
What about Kingdom of Heaven do you people not understand?
The next episode will be us just be ranting about not getting what we wanted.
Yeah. It's more of a Festivus vibe, like the airing of grievances. I don't know if you're a Seinfeld person, but...
Oh, yeah. The 23rd.
More in that world.
Yeah, my father-in-law is a big Seinfeld fan, so every December 23rd, I have to text him Happy Festivus.
Nice, yeah.
So, like you said, tonight's episode, I think it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
And like I said, Ottoman helped me out with this.
Again, please, he needs to run that by me. He's got his mixology class.
He works for both of us.
All right, yeah, that's fair.
So, the title of tonight's episode is going to be The Cryptid Quiz.
Okay.
And already, and so sounds... the reason I did not prep you in any way, shape, or form about what this episode is going to entail is because you're taking a pop quiz on this episode.
And I'm sure you remember, I was absent a lot in high school, so quizzes weren't really my strong suit. But yeah, we'll give it a go.
I remember there was one year, it had to have been high school. At the end of the year, they would give awards for like no missed days. Like you weren't absent at all the whole school year, right?
Yeah.
And I got that award, but the day before we skipped school and went to putt-putt.
And you still got the award because they didn't.
They had just like processed it all like before that day. So I missed the day before I won the perfect attendance award.
And I feel like this is all coming full circle a little bit because I think the way I convinced your parents, because I was raised a little more free range where I would just like not tell my mom what I was going to do. And then she'd be like, why is Evan at putt-putt on a Wednesday? And I'd be like, don't worry about it. But I think I wrote a rap to your parents as a way to convince them to let you go.
I vaguely remember that.
It was all about like why it was okay for you to skip school and go to putt-putt. There's probably a lot of mentions of Soul Calibur 2, getting a hole in one, bumper boats. I mean, why would you not let your son do that? I just don't understand.
You know, I don't know if this was intentional or not, but you just set up how we have to end this episode. with a revamp of Evan rapping to my parents, convincing my parents to let me go to Putt-Putt. And I will let you choose if you do it from the past, like you actually did, or you can try to convince my parents in the present to let me go to Putt-Putt. And if you need a stand-in, I can act as my parents responding.
So you'll play Dad Stooldrayer, as you call him.
Mama and Dada.
Merry Christmas, Dad Stooldrayer. Okay.
So with that being said, what the cryptid quiz is, let me explain this.
Yeah, break down the rules for me.
So I got Ottoman to come up with 12 cryptids.
Okay.
I will give you the name and a description of the cryptids, and you have to tell me whether it is a real cryptid or completely made up. And that's the whole game.
Okay, I'm down.
I've got 12 of them.
Okay.
So I had to, you know, set Ottoman straight a couple times because he was putting too obvious of cryptids in.
He's such a piece of
Like, you've heard of the Mothman.
Yes.
You heard of Sasquatch. You heard the whole encounter last episode.
Well, but you guys brought up, and maybe this is where you got the idea from, but you guys brought up Champ.
Oh, yeah. From Lake Champlain.
Who I was like, what the hell is Champ? But he's like our Loch Ness monster up north, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not optimistic.
Okay.
But let's see how it goes.
So there's 12.
Okay.
Let's say if you get half of them right, if you get six of them right, I'll have to come up with some sort of reward for you.
Yeah. I feel like we need like a Venmo wager, or you have to buy me a handle of Barton's gin.
Okay.
Which is more punishment, really. But
so if you get half of them, then I owe you a handle of Barton's gin. And if you get less than six, then you owe me a handle of Barton's gin.
It makes me want to throw the game, honestly. That stuff is so bad. Well,
I'll keep it as cleaner, probably.
Yeah. Right. Okay, I like that.
All right. Any questions before we begin?
I don't even know where to start, but I feel much more prepared than if we had done this at the start of the show.
Yeah. We're kind of testing where you've gotten to now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you have at least a baseline of what a cryptid is.
I feel like you're going to have some curveball swamp gases and with sandhill cranes. I think you're going to be in the mix. So I got to keep my eye out for those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the first one. The Pine Hollow Slinker. Described as a long-bodied, weasel-like animal, roughly 3 to 4 feet in length, with coarse gray-brown fur and unusually large forward-facing eyes. Witnesses say its paws appear slightly webbed, allowing it to move silently across damp forest floors. The slinker is associated with remote logging roads in the Pacific Northwest, where early 20th century surveyors allegedly complained of food caches being emptied overnight without tracks or disturbances. Some accounts mention a low humming sound produced by the creature's tail when it feels threatened.
Dude, if you went this deep on a fake one, I'm going to be so impressed. So am I allowed to ask questions to try and see if I think you made them up or not?
I am happy to reread portions of the description.
I feel like I should be able to ask questions about the cryptids to some extent, unless you think that'll immediately blow up the game.
I think we have to leave it at the description that I included.
Okay, that's fair.
I'll explain why I think we have to leave it at the description after this one.
Okay, reread me this one, and then I'll try and be better at concentrating moving forward.
Okay. The Pine Hollow Slinker. Described as a long-bodied, weasel-like animal roughly 3 to 4 feet in length, with coarse gray-brown fur and unusually large forward-facing eyes. Witnesses say its paws appear slightly webbed, allowing it to move silently across damp forest floors. The slinker is associated with remote logging roads in the Pacific Northwest, where early 20th century surveyors allegedly complained of food caches being emptied overnight without tracks or disturbance. Some accounts mention a low humming sound produced by the creature's tail when it feels threatened.
I don't understand how a tail would project sound like that, but it's a cryptid, so it do what it do. I'm going to go with a real cryptid on this one. Is that like a ChatGPT? There's just no way. That's so in-depth.
So that's the reason why I don't think I can answer clarifying questions. Because if you asked anything about that, I would just have to try and make something up on the spot. And it would be obvious.
I feel like you could, though. So what if I had asked on the fly, okay, well, why does this tail emit a humming sound?
Because it vibrates at a high frequency.
The laughing might get away with it. Okay, so I'm just going to make a little tally here, and I have a feeling I'm going to make 12 X's, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's one wrong.
There's one in the wrong column. Okay, so Pine Hollow Slinker. Great name, by the way.
The Pine Hollow Slinker is not a real cryptid.
It's not real. Okay, so far, so good.
All right, are we ready for number two?
We are.
Okay, number two, the Flatwoods Monster. First reported on September 12, 1952, near Flatwoods, West Virginia, witnesses described a tall, non-human figure with a spade-shaped head, glowing eyes, and a greenish metallic body. The encounter was accompanied by a strong, acrid odor and a mist that irritated the eyes and throat, often classified as a cryptid, alien, or folkloric creature, depending on interpretation. The Flatwoods Monster has become one of the most well-documented mid-century American monster sightings.
This is not going to go well.
Also, I need to add in a rule. You are not allowed to use Ottoman to answer these.
All right. You got to get out of here. Stop crying and go. Yeah. Until I call you in here for another beverage.
The Flatwoods Monster.
I'm going to go with real.
Final answer?
Yeah. Hey-oh. All right. One and one.
That is a real one. That is one that people who are into cryptids, they know immediately about the Flatwoods Monster.
One of the most well-known. I was like, what the hell?
I was going to try and throw you off with that because I was hoping you'd be like, well, I haven't heard of it. It must be fake.
Well, to be fair, that's been every episode we've done so far. I think Jersey Devil and Remote Viewing were like the only two I've had any kind of one. Bigfoot, of course.
So that story is one that I want to cover on this podcast. We might do it. What is this, episode 8?
Yes. Yeah.
8. So what do we got? Two more? Might do it this season, but at least next season, we're going to cover the Flatwoods Monster. We got 9 and 10. I have no idea what I'm going to cover for those. So if anybody out there wants me to cover something, let me know. All right. Number 3, the Kettle Moraine Whistler. Reported in the glacial hills of Wisconsin's Kettle Moraine region, the Whistler is described as a hairless, gray mammal about the size of a large dog, with an elongated snout and oversized nasal cavities. Campers and hikers claim it produces sharp, kettle-like whistles by forcing air through its nostrils. The sounds are often mistaken for birds at first, though witnesses insist the rhythm and pitch are subtly wrong. Sightings typically occur at night near established hiking trails.
So I'm going to go with fake because the Pine Hollow Slinker also emitted a sound, so...
You think emitting a sound is the...
It's your brand. It's your brand giveaway? Of cryptid. Yeah. So I'm going to go with fake because it also emits a sound from its body.
It is fake.
Oh, God. Sorry, that's how I celebrate.
That's Evan emitting a sound from his body.
There's a cryptid in my room.
Gosh. It's the Pine Hollow Slinker.
It's the hairless chimp.
The Kettle Moraine Whistler is in Evan's room.
I said it was a hairless chimp, but that's just like an alopecic orangutan. I don't know if you can use alopecia as an adjective, but we're going.
That's quite a distinction.
An alopecic ape.
Alopecic ape. Wait, why is alopecia associated with making a sound?
Oh, it's not. I just was trying to think of a cryptid thing and then realized it's like saying I have like a hairless cat in the room. It's like, well, those exist. So it's not even a cryptid.
Oh, man. All right.
All right.
Well, now that we've established that the Pine Hollow Slinker is in the room with you.
Yeah. You thought it wasn't real, but it turns out.
Okay. Number 4, shall we?
Yes.
So you've got 2 right, 1 wrong. Let's see if I can stump you with this one.
Okay.
Number 4, the Ashland Screecher. An owl-like creature reportedly seen along the Ohio-Kentucky border near Ashland, characterized by ash-colored feathers, a long neck, and stark white eyes. Railroad workers in the 1930s allegedly reported hearing piercing screams near bridges and trestles just before dawn. Unlike known owls, the screecher is said to vocalize continuously for several seconds, producing a sound often compared to a human scream. Folklore claims it nests in abandoned rail infrastructure. The Ashland Screecher.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like just like people got like real hammered the night before wandering home and they're just wandering the train tracks. I wouldn't know anything about that, for the record.
Had a little too much Barnett's.
Ugh. Yeah, like, I know where I'm going. I'm going to the train station. The scream. I love you!
Sorry to everyone's ears.
No, it's all right. Don't worry
about
it.
Just screaming into the mic.
So I'm going to go with fake only because there's an Ashland, Virginia.
Okay.
So I feel like that entered your brain and you named something after it. And you were a huge Saved by the Bell fan and you loved Screech.
So you're going fake?
I'm going fake for Ashland Screecher. Oh, girl.
You're doing good at this.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're doing better than I wanted you to.
Uh-oh. I like that you just wanted me to fail.
I did.
You made a game and you're just like, oh, I can't wait to make him look so stupid. I do that on most episodes anyway. So,
you're proving me wrong. You're doing well. You're 3-1 so far.
I don't know about you, but there's like, we always do our listen on Spotify. I would say it's a fair thing to say just to get that listen tick that we need desperately for our stats. But I'll hear stuff I say and I'm like, I think I'm an idiot. I don't think I know anything. But like hearing things back, like the guy tossing salad on the U-crop sign, I'm just like, this is not good.
Oh my God. I'm finding a picture of that and putting it on our Instagram account soon.
I feel like it's still there.
It is still there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I've driven by it recently.
Chesterfield likes to stay real stationary in progress.
Yeah, it's definitely still there. And I will take a picture of it and post it on social media to make fun of you.
Perfect.
All right. Number 5, the Fresno Nightcrawler. A strange pale cryptid first gaining attention in the early 2000s after being captured on security footage near Fresno, California. The creature appears to consist almost entirely of two long legs with no visible arms or torso and moves with an unnaturally smooth gliding gait. Similar footage later surfaced in Yosemite National Park. While skeptics suggest hoaxes or puppetry, the Nightcrawler has become a well-known example of a modern cryptid.
Are there not many modern cryptids?
Yeah, I would say there's not a whole lot of like new cryptids that have shown up in the last 20 years.
Because I guess a lot of them are like word of mouth or pre-smartphones and stuff where you could kind of be like, just record it if you saw it kind of deal.
Yeah. You won't guess what I saw in the woods. It was the Pine Hollow Slinker.
And you didn't take a picture? That is so fake. Damn it. Get out of here. Get.
I like that our go-to is always just really country accents.
I mean, to be fair, we are from kind of a...
Yeah, it comes most natural to us.
We weren't super rural, but we were on the line of like suburbia and rural. So we get a little bit of both worlds, I think, growing up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Fresno Nightcrawler.
The Fresno Nightcrawler. They're like pale, long legs, no torso. I was like, are you sure it wasn't my dad? Just kidding, in case.
Evan's dad is all legs.
No, I think he will even joke all the time that he's just all torso. So it'd be like shoes at the bottom of hips. So pale cryptid, long legs, no torso, and glides. Like very smooth walker.
A naturally smooth gliding gait.
So Fresno, California?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was just a pimp. Smooth walker, long legs. He's got a cane, probably. But I'm going to go with real.
You got it.
Yeah, man.
What gave that one away?
I don't know, man. Just dialed in. That Bombay Sapphire just getting the neurons going.
Okay, just going on feeling now.
Going on vibe.
Going on vibe. Okay. Well, let's see. You've got 4 right.
One wrong, 4 right.
So you only need to get two more right.
You're about to buy me the worst thing in the ABC store.
I will buy you the cheapest bottle of gin that exists.
Oh, it's Barton's. Worry not.
All right. Number six, shall we?
Yeah.
The Lake Dovetail Groaner.
Uh-oh.
Described as a pale eel-like aquatic creature inhabiting a small remote lake in northern Michigan. Witnesses report a vertical splitting mouth and short, underdeveloped front fins resembling arms. The groaner is named for the low, vibrating sounds it allegedly produces beneath boats, which some anglers claim can be felt through the hull. Stories often involve fishing equipment being pulled underwater overnight and unexplained ripples moving against the wind.
I hate unexplained ripples. Hate them. Oh, is that it? Okay. Sorry, I'm so caught up in those ripples. Still unexplained ripples. I don't know. What do you think that groaner sounds like? What's the... it's so wet down here. I hate water.
I hate ripples.
I hate ripples. I need to breach because of the ripples. I think it's wrong, but I'm gonna say right because I feel like you're. I don't know. This one's a split on feeling like you. It's a David Conjuring. All right, I guess I have to pick though. Lake Dovetail Groaner. I mean, that's a great name. So if this is yours, then...
Real or fiction?
I'm going to go fiction.
You're right again.
Yeah.
I'm kind of... Now... The slinker's back.
I'm sure Jess is down the hall like, what is this episode?
Now I'm getting a little upset that you didn't get the first one right because I'm kind of hoping you go for a clean sweep.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, you thought you were going to get none of them. But I think that one, yeah, that locks in.
I got one wrong. That was six. One shy of that sweet, sweet Bartons.
One shy of the Bartons. We got to look up if they even still make that anymore.
I hope not. You're going to cease and desist from the Bartons company? Like, hey, guys.
Stop talking about how terrible our product is.
Your 30 followers all quit buying Bartons gin. So, no.
Barton's gin, the official gin of the
official gin of Oddity Archive. I mean, they might be down. They need the business.
Maybe they can do the next giveaway.
You have to basically lay down to grab the bottle. It's solo down on the shelf. It's in the back. They're like, I mean, people don't ask for this. They don't want it.
Are you sure?
Do you hate yourself? Are you okay?
All right. Number seven, the Mongolian death worm. The Mongolian death worm is a cryptid said to inhabit the Gobi Desert, known locally as the Ogoi Korkoi, meaning large intestine worm. It is described as a thick, red, worm-like creature up to several feet long that moves beneath the sand and occasionally erupts to the surface. According to folklore, it can kill at a distance by spraying venom or delivering an electric shock. It's a lot to take in there.
Yeah, it's got some like Dune vibes, the sandworm, but they don't like spit, I guess. I'm going to go with real on this one, but only because you had trouble with the pronunciation. But if you wrote words that you also can't pronounce, would be hilarious to me.
I knew that was going to give it away, that you're right. It's real. I should not have included that detail.
If you have to go back and be like, oh, okay, hold on.
Ogoi Korkoi.
Like, if you made up the word.
All right, now I know to make up foreign language words to throw Evan off. All right, you are 6-1.
Yeah, but also you would have been in trouble because my Mongolian is pretty good.
Yeah, you did study there for 13 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got really good at horseback archery.
I can't think of two things I'm worse at. Let alone combined.
Two things you've literally never done.
No.
All right. Number eight.
Eight is great.
The Nantucket Fog Feeder. A translucent jellyfish-like entity reportedly seen hovering a few feet above the ground during heavy coastal fog on Nantucket Island. Witnesses describe faint luminescence and a slow drifting movement inland before the form dissipates at sunrise. Maritime folklore suggests the phenomenon predates modern electrical infrastructure, ruling out some atmospheric explanations. Skeptics argue it may be a rare optical illusion or weather-related plasma effect.
I mean, this thing just sounds awesome. So I hope it's a real
one. It does sound cool.
So I'm going with real just because I love the whole concept, the art design. It's working for me. I want a jellyfish in my fog right now.
The Nantucket fog feeder. Gotcha,
So how did you make these fake ones, or did you just...
So some of them are real, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I came up with, and some of them are ChatGPT.
Okay. So Nantucket Fog Feeder, I like. I want to make that movie.
I like that one. The Nantucket Fog Feeder.
Where is Nantucket?
I think like New England.
You didn't sound very confident, David.
I think it's New England, but we've been so bad with geography on this show. Always hesitant.
Like Plymouth Rock, that whatever episode that was.
Still, God.
I need to just re-edit all the other episodes so we sound smarter. Just overdub.
We sound intelligent, yeah.
Plymouth Rock and where is it? I still don't.
Massachusetts.
I was going to say Pennsylvania.
I hope it's in Massachusetts. If it's not in Massachusetts, I give up. But yeah, so now any geography that comes up, I just question myself on this show.
That's why we got Ottoman. In theory, he's supposed to cover up for us when we're screwing up. All right, so Nantucket Fog Feeder. We're huge fans.
Huge fans want it to be real, not real.
We got to go out there and try and make people think it's real. We should start our own cryptid on this show somehow and see if we can get it in the news.
Say that again. I wasn't paying attention.
That's all right. I get that a lot. I want to try and make a cryptid on this show at some point. Maybe season 3.
Okay.
The last episode is us trying to create a cryptid that people see and think is real, but really it's just us in a field with a lot of strange things.
So you want the episode to be us like standing out in a field trying to trick people into thinking we're cryptids?
Yeah, I want to make the Nantucket fog feeder. Even though it's a jellyfish, I want to give that baby legs.
I feel like that episode would just be us whispering to each other, another car is coming.
David, you don't sound like a jellyfish at all. Are you even trying?
Turn your lights on. Start groaning.
Stop crying.
Somebody would be walking down the road and call the police. There's just this groaning that's coming from behind this bush.
It's the episode where we get arrested also.
Yeah, the police show up. Why are you shirtless?
Don't worry about it. I'm all hopped up on Bartons. Okay, God. So Nantucket Fog Feeder. Like I said,
season 3, episode 4.
Season 3, we get arrested. We'll be Nantucket Fog Feeder.
We get arrested for groaning in a bush.
And the end of the show, yeah, because we are then in jail. All right, so number nine.
Here we go.
I was going to try and do a drum roll, but I... Can you roll your R's?
No.
The only way I could do it is to hold my... And it's not even roll. It's a...
That's Evan rolling his R's, everyone.
Yeah. I was trying to think of any Spanish word where you roll your R. Raul.
Oh. What?
But in Spanish class, I could just never do it. And everybody else was like, ba, 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 ba.
You know, that's another thing where I never understood it, but we were given different names.
Yeah.
What was your name in Spanish class?
I was Enrique.
Enrique. I was Felipe. I never understood why they did that. Why did we have to have names, quote unquote, in the language? Does that make sense? Does that help you learn a language? Why not just say your name?
It's not like people move here and we're like, you're not David anymore. I'm sorry. Now you're David.
Yeah, like I wouldn't like move to Spain and be like, I am Felipe now. I still introduce myself as David.
I mean, you'd be a good Felipe. I can see it.
I mean, I wasn't because I failed Spanish, but
yeah, no, you know. Yeah. I like to picture the teacher goes home and there's like 30 Polaroids on the wall. And they're like, okay, Felipe, Enrique, Daniel. I don't know if that's one.
This is a true crime episode.
You just go into class one day and all of a sudden everyone's got a new name.
Yeah.
And we had to call each other that in class.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. It was the weirdest thing. I don't understand that whole concept.
It'd be like going into science and like, all right, guess what molecule you're going to be? I'm like, hey, water's tardy. Water's tardy today.
You're helium.
Yeah. Helium is always late.
Somebody gets like xenon or is that even an element? I don't know.
Xenon is such All right, we're going all over the place today. Yeah. I like it.
What name would you pick in history class?
Bill. Billiam. Like before William became just Bill, I bet it was Billiam. So I want to be Sir Billiam.
You think Bill is short for Billiam?
I think that's how it started.
Okay. All right.
All right, well, your history name. Don't leave me hanging here.
Oh, if I'm in a history class, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Your guys' appearances are uncannily similar. Anytime the Jumanji 3 trailer comes up, I'm like, David's an actor?
You're thinking of Jack Black.
Oh. That's pretty good.
Oh, God. All right. What are we doing here?
So Nantucket Fog Feeder, we're going to make real.
We're going to make that one real while impersonating Billiam and Jack Black.
Just so when the cops come, we have our stories covered.
All right.
Billiam and Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That's how we'll identify ourselves. Okay. All right. Number 9.
Yeah. We're still on topic.
We're still on topic. Number 9.
Yeah.
The tree kangaroo of New Guinea. Tree kangaroos are arboreal marsupials native to the rainforests of New Guinea and parts of northeastern Australia. Unlike typical kangaroos, they have strong forelimbs, curved claws, and a long tail that helps them balance while climbing and leaping between trees. Early Western reports describe them as slow-moving and awkward on the ground, but surprisingly agile in the canopy. They are rarely seen and live in dense forest. The tree kangaroo of New Guinea.
There's something just oddly sexual about the phrase, surprisingly agile in the canopy. I'm starting to feel hot in here, you know? I mean, if I had a shirt on, I'd pop it off. But as I mentioned before, there's nothing left to go.
I'm going
to
make you a shirt that says surprisingly agile in the canopy.
I'll put it next to my hot Yeti bed.
Hot Yeti bed.
Yeti bed and expand the moose hole.
Expand the moose hole. I am a remote viewer with a picture of a banana. We got to get this shop going.
I'll be the first one to buy all 5 shirts. All right. So surprisingly agile in the canopy. Sorry, I'm just drawing a picture of...
Of the kangaroo.
Of the kangaroo being real agile.
Okay. Evan has not had a refill on his drink. You've had a very long week.
Yeah, I had norovirus and just purged my system. And then I was like, and then gin. So my question first is, New Guinea, is that an island off of Australia, right?
I believe so.
It's one of those things I've heard plenty of times. I'm like, is that where the Tasmanian devil was born?
I am committing for the entirety of this show. I will be non-committal on geography answers as long as this show happens. You could ask me, where is Richmond, Virginia? And be like, I think Central Virginia? I'm not sure.
We'll just start bleeping out any geography that we bring up on the show. I'm going to go with real.
This one is not a real cryptid.
Ah!
I have tricked you in a different way with this one. The tree kangaroo is not a cryptid. It is an actual animal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a tree kangaroo of New Guinea is a real animal that we know exists.
Interesting twist. Did you know that before you made this?
Yes.
How?
there's a guy on YouTube, Forrest Galante. He's like a nature guy.
Forrest Galante. Great name. Maybe that's a Spanish class name.
And he has a whole YouTube channel where he just like goes and tours zoos and aquariums and different stuff. And in one of them, when I was prepping this episode, he went somewhere and like met a tree kangaroo. And I was like, that is not a real animal, but it is. And I was like, I'm going to throw Evan off with that one. And it worked.
Yeah. Are you a fan?
Am I a fan of tree kangaroos?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Simple question. Don't get so defensive about it.
Yeah, well, I love tree kangaroos.
All of you are like, oh, hell no.
All right, rapid fire. Favorite animal, go.
Cheetah. Actually, I think ocelot. Ocelot? It's a good blend of, yeah. I mean, you know me, I'm a huge, like, cat dad. So, cat dad.
Cat dad.
But I always wanted to have an ocelot because it felt like a cool blend of house cat sized.
And aggression.
Yeah. I'm all about aggression with my animals.
Okay.
Well, what's yours?
So cheetah would be my number two.
Yeah, cheetahs are great.
But my favorite animal, we can kind of transition this conversation. My spirit animal.
Okay, that's a different question.
The same for me is a box turtle. Okay, bonus point question.
Yeah.
There was a box turtle that visited my house every single year. Do you remember its name?
I thought it was a snapping turtle. How can you tell the difference?
Snapping turtles live in the water.
Okay, well, you know, we're all learning here.
Did you know that my parents do not live on any water?
Yeah, very wooded area.
Except for when it rains too
the
hard.
Opposite of a water. Yeah. Okay, so box turtle. I do remember it would come by. Was it like annually?
Yeah, every single year of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember its name? I was very young and did not understand what this word meant.
Turd box.
Turd box.
Turt box, probably.
Turt box.
Because it's a box turtle. No, so you call it turt box.
I named this. I don't know how I heard this word. I don't.
Wait. Give me the first letter. Let me at least try and guess.
F.
Turtle.
Oh.
I was just like you pitching that to your parents as like a 7-year-old. Like, I want to call it turtle. Well, of course, bleep as does.
I named the turtle Frisky.
Oh. Was it Frisky?
It was very quick. That's why I named him Frisky. But he came to the house every single year. Like, even when I went to college, my parents would call me in the spring and be like, he showed back up. And then when I moved into my current house, every single summer since I've been here, mm-hmm. a box turtle shows up on my plot of land.
There's a doorstep. It's like, ding dong.
On my doorstep. Ding dong. I have arrived. Yeah. Box turtle. I have a connection with them.
That's awesome. So I do remember Frisky. Didn't remember the name. But also, I remember I went to your house one day. There was a kiddie pool in the back and an otter just in it. I was like,
I have
how,
that picture.
How and why?
I'm going to put that picture on the Instagram post.
That otter was awesome. Like, they're such happy creatures. Yeah. So I think that'd be a great spirit animal.
So I have to tell that story now.
Yeah. So I went to your house and then there was just an otter in your backyard.
This is another just like a regionally known thing. But if you're from Richmond, Virginia or the surrounding areas, you've probably heard of and visited Maymont Park.
Yeah. One of the best things you can do down there if you're in town.
Yeah. Maymont was an estate owned by, I believe, a family named the Dooleys. I could be getting that wrong, but it's something like that. And they left the estate essentially to the public. So it's like a whole area that's free to go to. They said, like, you were never allowed to charge admission to the grounds and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, my dad worked for Maymont for a long period.
Yeah.
And while he was there, they started building a new building called the Nature Center that houses like fish and turtles and snakes and other wildlife and stuff. And you can go
and compared to like a normal zoo, this place was taking animals that couldn't live in the wild.
Yeah.
Was my understanding. So like, it wasn't like a zoo where you're like, oh great, animals in captivity. These were animals that needed to be rehabilitated or couldn't live in the wild.
Right, right. And so they built this new nature center. And while they were building it, it came in the possession of these otters, but the habitat for the otters hadn't been built yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so different staff from Maymont had to take them home and care for them at night. And so my dad was able to bring the otter home for a night and like surprised us with it and was like, guess what I brought home from work? And we're like, I don't know, some candy. And he was like, no, I brought an otter home.
And it was awesome. It was so awesome.
So like we got our blow up pool out back and let the otter get in that and play around and stuff. Yeah, it was a very interesting experience.
Where did it go at night?
They had a cage. They had like a crate that they kept it in.
Oh, so it just like chilled.
Yeah, chilled in the crate. Yeah. And I remember they eat meat.
Oh, because they like, don't don't they crack open
like oysters and stuff? Yeah. And for whatever reason, the meat they gave my dad, it was horse meat. So
interesting.
Yeah, that was a very cool experience.
Was your dad a big animal guy?
No, not really. I think it was more he just kind of didn't want to deal with all that. And my mom, like knowing what was going on, was like, bring the otter home so these kids can experience this.
Like, this is an option? Yeah, like bring that thing home.
I don't care what we got to deal with. Bring it home.
Yeah, it was an awesome memory for me too. Just like come over and be like, where's the otter?
Yeah, so that was a cool experience. What were we talking? Were we talking about what your spirit animal is?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a box turtle through and through.
That's a good one. I mean, I did have this moment. As you know, I lived in LA for a few years and I was coming home from something one night and I parked the car and it's like a little bit later and it's just me on the street. I get out and there's a coyote with like a dead squirrel or something in its mouth. And we both just like look at each other and lock eyes for a bit. That's where in my head I'm like, do coyotes attack people? Like, what's the deal? But also he's got food, so we're probably good. So we just kind of looked at each other for a long time. And then he just kind of walked past me and went off to, I guess, eat a squirrel or something.
Like, how close did he walk past you?
I mean, we were like 15, 20 feet apart.
Oh, you were pretty close.
Yeah, it was super close. It was one of those things where you get out of the car and you're like, something's weird here. And then you look in,
yeah.
Like, just look down and you're like, oh, there's a coyote in the street.
Like, in L.A.?
Yeah, there's like cougars and stuff. LA is weird because they just kind of jammed this huge city into the middle of a place that makes no sense to put a city. So you'll get like mountain lions and coyotes just like kind of find their way down. There'll be like bears in someone's backyard by the pool.
Oh, God.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But so I feel like coyote I could vibe with.
Coyote, I like that one.
And I kind of have the energy of coyote from the Looney Tunes cartoons. Just always bumbling around and, you know, like messing up. So...
I thought you were going to go coyote ugly. You've also been known to dance on bars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys got any more Bartons? All right. So I feel like we've covered number 10.
Yeah. All right. So what are we at? You've gotten, what, 3 wrong and 6 right.
Somehow I wrote number 10 as just box turtle frisky. So we're on 11, right?
No, we're on number 10.
Oh, okay. So I just wrote that in.
Number 10, the frisky of Chesterfield. No. Number 10 is the Loveland Frogman.
Mm.
A humanoid frog-like creature reported in and around Loveland, Ohio since the 1950s. Descriptions include leathery skin, large eyes, and in some accounts, webbed hands holding a short, wand-like object. Later sightings in the 1970s by police officers renewed public interest. Some explanations suggest misidentified iguanas or large frogs, while others consider it a regional cryptid with deep folkloric roots.
I heard the name and I was picturing it in my head and then spaced out for the rest of the description. So I'm going to go with fake. And here's why.
Okay.
I don't picture frogs as having leathery skin. And also the description says humanoid, but also people are confusing it for iguanas.
Okay.
So unless it's like an infant, like lizard thing, I think when I think humanoid, I think like an adult.
Okay. So you're going fake.
Yeah. What?
It's a real one. I think what got you there was my poor non-peer-reviewed writing.
Oh, well. Probably didn't help.
Gotcha. I didn't even think about like iguanas and sizes and all that.
I mean, would you say a frog has leathery skin?
Yeah, more or less, right? Like wet leather.
I don't think I've ever touched a frog.
How would you describe a frog's skin?
Squishy goo with some firmness.
Squishy goo. He got the squishy gooey skin.
Yeah, I see that frog down the street. He's got the squishy goo. Well, I'm going to go down there right now.
Oh, God. If you say squishy goo, Evan's showing up.
Hey, what kind of party is it? Will there be any squishy goo? Oh, I'm there.
And then he'd show up in the house and be like, where is it?
I brought my gloves. Where he be? Where he be? Like, this show is just turning me into like a mountain man from a cave.
All right, so we've taken a turn.
I'm done.
Evan's just going to whisper into the mic for the rest of the episode.
I really like cryptids. I like what they do, and I like their goo.
All right.
So we've taken a turn. It's three wrong in a row. So you got a turn. You got two chances to turn this one around.
I came out the gate strong, and then something happened.
I think you'll like this one. Number 11, the Sangre de Cristo Bone Dog.
Oh,
a large.
Can you say it again? I was too distracted.
The Sangre de Cristo Bone Dog. There we go.
Sangre.
S-A-N-G-R-E. Yes. The Sangre de Cristo Bone Dog. A large canine-shaped cryptid associated with the Sangre de Cristo Mountains of southern Colorado and northern New Mexico. Witnesses describe taut, pale skin stretched tightly over visible rib outlines and an elongated skull. The bone dog is said to appear during drought years, leaving oversized canine tracks that are unusually symmetrical. Folklore frames it as an omen rather than a biological animal, which may explain the lack of physical evidence. What are you thinking about the bone dog?
This one is... First, I'm picturing like a biker.
Biker?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I'm the bone dog. I'm going from Sangre de Cristo and I've taken a life or two along the way.
Cristo? Like Christ? What's Sangre... What does that mean in English?
Do not ask me to translate
Spanish.
Right, we've had this discussion.
Ottoman, first of all, get the Bartons. And I need you to get in here and look this up. All right, so let's see what Sangre de Cristo is. All right, he's thinking for it.
I've covered like four times on this podcast how bad I am at Spanish specifically.
Oh, Blood of Christ.
Okay.
So, the Blood of Christ bone dog. Do you remember the movie Raising Arizona?
Yes.
So that biker, that's who I picture.
That's who you're impersonating?
Granted, he's not like, he doesn't have an elongated skull and whatever, but like, that's the vibe.
Yeah. Okay. That's the vibe you're getting.
But just more, he's got more skelly going.
I gotcha. Okay.
I'm just going to go with real because I like the vibe of this one.
You're wrong. Oh, the Sangre de Cristo bone dog is not real.
I feel like I got five right and then five wrong immediately. You got me too overconfident.
Yeah. So the next one really turns the tide, whether you're going to go 50% or better.
I did win the Bartons, though, right? That's the important.
You're 6-5 now.
Okay.
Unless you want to throw me a bone, dog. and we put it all on this last one.
Okay, yeah, or double or nothing. Two handles of Bartons.
Okay, so if you...
I don't want that. How about winner the... Let me try it. How do you phrase this? How did English go? You're like, no wonder he's so bad at Spanish. He can barely talk. what should we have? What should the reward be?
What should the reward be if you get this right?
You buy the other one their favorite cereal?
There we go. Okay.
Winner gets easy living cinnamon sent to their house.
We can make this. Okay. I'm gonna kind of flip things around a little bit here. Okay.
Yeah. What you got?
It's all going to come down to number 12.
Yeah.
If you get it right, you win. If you get it wrong, I win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens is if you win, you get to pick any cereal and the loser has to eat a bowl of that cereal.
Live.
Live on Instagram.
Live.
I don't know if we're going to go live. I don't know if people want to see us eating cereal. So a cereal of your choice, the loser has to eat it.
No Raisin Bran. Can we rule out Raisin Bran?
No, anything's on the table.
Okay.
Anything's on the table.
So this reminds me of something that I want to see if you remember.
Okay.
You and me used to go into my fridge and try and make the worst drink possible.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
This is when we were like eight. Nothing alcoholic in it. It was like vinegar, ranch, soy sauce, mustard, mayonnaise, just miscellaneous meat pieces from things my mom had put in butter containers.
And we always put a lot of Worcestershire sauce in it.
Well, you know, you gotta make it savory. But I remember we would both just take like one sip and then just gag in the sink because it's so bad. So that's the direction I'm going to go with my cereal pick.
I remember we would do that. And then we did it multiple times. You would always be like, hey, do you want to see what happens if you microwave an egg?
Does it just explode? No, does it just blow up?
Yeah, you'd be like, do you want to see what happens if you microwave an egg?
I mean, it's on brand. I don't doubt
it. Or you were just like, let me show you how I cook my eggs or something. Like, I don't know. But you put a whole egg in the microwave and you set it to like 5 minutes and it blew up and it broke your microwave. And your mom was like, what happened? Why isn't the microwave working? We're like, I don't know.
There's pieces of eggshell everywhere. That's so weird. Did you microwave an egg, Mom?
I have no idea why you were microwaving whole eggs.
I don't know.
Like, in the shell. Not like you didn't crack it anywhere. Just in the shell.
There's a whole lot of questionable activities happening for me back then. Hey, you want to see napalm? Also, let's go in there and microwave an egg.
That sums up Evan's household credo.
I just get bored and I'm just like, what should I just do?
What's something weird I can do?
Oh. Okay.
All right. Are we ready for the showdown?
Yes.
All right. Bowl of nasty cereal on the line here.
Yeah. Or good. You could treat me if I get it wrong.
It's true. That's true. We'll see. You know,
yeah. It's Christmas. How we're feeling. Yeah.
All right. Number 12 for all the marbles.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, the bone dog came out of me.
As tends to occur with the pumpkin.
Yeah. Pumpkin's full of bone dog. We should trademark pumpkin. Oh, I guess the beer already did it. Or did they? We sue them. Pumpkin. But I think they're Pumpkin. And I was the pump.
Yeah. Because it's a pumpkin beer. Pumpkin.
Well, there's a P in pumpkin.
We're adding a P. So they, yeah, we can
all right.
Copyright that.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Number 12. The Beast of Bray Road. A wolf-like bipedal creature reported along Bray Road near Elkhorn, Wisconsin, since the late 1980s. Descriptions include a muscular, hairy body, long arms, and a canine head. Sightings often occur near rural roads at night, sometimes involving the creature crouching or feeding on roadkill. The beast has become one of the most frequently reported modern American cryptids.
He's
frantically taking notes.
Carry the one divided by two.
The Beast of Bray Road.
All right. I want to make sure I get this one right. I'm going to trust my instincts here. I'm going to go with fake because there was a bipedal drop, and I know you love to do a bipedal drop.
It is a real cryptid. Man, you came on so strong.
Man, I fell off hard.
You fell off very hard.
God, I think I got too excited about just picturing the creatures. Like, I want it to be real.
Like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Boom, got them all right. And then you just trailed off. So you ended up going 6 for 6.
Yeah.
So exactly what we predicted at the beginning.
Maybe you did. I thought I was gonna go 0 for 12.
6 for 6. Okay, I have some decisions to make.
I gotta say though, I love Pine Hollow Slinker.
That's a good one. I think
that's great.
Your favorite was the jellyfish one.
Yeah. Oh, I want that to be real.
Yeah, the Nantucket Fog Feeder.
Yeah, the Nantucket.
Nantucket Fog Feeder. Fog Feeder.
Nantucket Fog Feeder. There's like a folk song or something to be had there. Maybe that won't.
So that's second option. You could either do a rap to my parents, convincing them to let me go to Putt-Putt, or you can do a folk song about the Nantucket Fog Feeder.
Are you familiar with Girl Talk? I don't know if they're still around.
Yeah.
Where like mashups. So maybe there's a way to have the Putt-Putt song
transition into a folk
fade
song.
Into the...
I'll leave that up to you because I can't even think about
how hard I make this for myself. Yeah, like a putt-putt rap, but it goes into the Nantucket Fog Feeder anthem.
Okay. I have made a decision.
Yes.
On the cereal that you are to eat. So you have to purchase a box.
I have to buy it?
Yeah, I'm not buying it for you.
I guess that, yeah. Okay.
You have to buy it. You have to eat a bowl of it live streamed on Instagram.
I like how once I lost, you're like, no, we will be live streaming this.
Now that it's not me.
Yeah. I'll live stream me eating cereal. I'm not above it.
Okay. With the milk of your choice.
Barton's gin. Gin.
So the cereal I've chosen for you is Grape Nuts. And I go. Have you heard of that before?
Yeah, my mom would buy it.
Okay.
And I remember always being like, why? Is
this I Googled a description that just makes it sound so enticing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give me the
Grape Nuts is a crunchy whole grain breakfast cereal made from wheat and barley, known for its dense nuggets and extreme crunch.
You know I love dense nuggets.
That's why I picked it. Despite the name, it contains no grapes or nuts, deriving its name from the small nutty tasting pieces.
I feel like dense nuggets is just describing what happens after you eat the cereal.
Dense nuggets was your nickname in high school.
Is he in the bathroom again? Well, you know how dense nuggets be. But also, I will say it is a good roast as far as my picks. You guys are like, what is with all the bran and oat?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I probably gave you a cereal that you
enjoy.
This
is in that wheelhouse where you're like, if you want old man cereal, I'll give you old man cereal. Eat have the some grape nuts. You little bitch.
Oh, all right. So that's your penalty.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to seeing which direction you go with the song at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
As always, I'm happy to help out in any way I can.
Okay. Do we have like a song vibe? Or maybe it's like Putt Putt. We did that back in what, 2000? You want me to just run with it?
Yeah. I mean, when I say I will help in any way I possibly can, that's with the knowledge that I know nothing about music composition. I know nothing about how to make different sounds flow together.
But if you're on Spotify and happen to hear a great track about golf, maybe I'll send that my way.
Oh, yeah. If I hear something good, I'll send it your way.
Are there any songs about golf?
There has to be songs about golf.
Bagger Vance soundtrack. There's got to be at least one banger.
Oh my god, that's a deep cut right there.
Will Smith presents Putt-Putt.
Was Will Smith Bagger Vance?
Yeah.
Okay. I never saw that movie. I just know about it.
I didn't either, but okay. Nobody, I don't think it was good. And I would know because I didn't see it.
All right, Ottoman. Let's just make sure Will
it's
Smith.
Like, it's like the Grape Nuts of movies.
The main character. It's the Grape Nuts of movies.
Ottoman's busy being a head somewhere in the kitchen. I told my cocktails are very specific, so when I need one, he's got to go in like an hour early just to prep ingredients and make sure it's right. I mean,
he's
got to
get
the
perfectly formed ice cube.
That's why I sent him to that mixology class, because my drinks have been.
He has to muddle the mints.
He's a horrible muddler.
Yeah,
he muddles up the drinks. Is what he does. All right. Well,
Everybody out there.
So a 6-6 draw. I think that's a fun way to end.
If you're out there listening, let us know what your score was. I'm just assuming you played along because why not? We got two more episodes this season. Let us know if there's something you want us to cover. So we'll have those two episodes. That'll put us mid-February.
Yep.
And then we'll probably take like a month break or something. I know March tends to be like a really busy month for me. I got a lot going on in March most years. So we'll take an extended break and then come back with season 3. The groaner's back.
Everywhere I groan, everywhere I groan.
I don't know where Evan is going with this right now.
Where's the Bartons? Where's the Bartons?
This episode's going to have a very strange ending.
It'll be a weird arc, but tune in about a week or two. Well, I guess like a month to see me eat Grape Nuts.
Yeah. a month from recording.
How many podcasts can say something like that?
Yeah.
Just one.
You can watch the host live eat Grape Nuts.
What better way is there to spend your time than to watch me eat bad cereal? I can't think of any, David.
Maybe we could. Can you go live on Instagram together? Like, can we both be live?
We'll have to investigate.
Because I had an idea for the live stream that while you eat Grape Nuts, I try to remote view something. But That's for another time.
Yeah, we'll workshop. I don't know. Do we still drop the socials? Or
yeah. OddityArchivePodcast@gmail.com. OddityArchivePodcast on Instagram. Get in touch. Send us messages. Reach out. Do things. Say words.
And I'm going to challenge anybody who feels like writing in, been a little timid, write in as one of the cryptids from tonight's show. Real, fake.
There we go.
Make your own up. But use that voice when you email David, because I will not read it. No, well, I will when
I'm looking for it. I'm looking forward to reading your cryptid emails. And with that,
dear Mr. and Mrs. Stooldrayer, school's feeling lame, don't care about my grade. Hard to concentrate when there's holes to be made. Red ball, blue ball, I can make them all fall. R3 is nothing when you're rolling like a bone dog.
Root. I think he should be in school.
Where he can't even putt?
It's important that he's learning.
Huh. Oh my god, what? Reading is for greens, do I really have to plead? Just tee your boy up and let him live his dreams. Reading is for greens, do I really have to plead? Just tee your boy up and let him live his dreams.
Growing up in Nantucket, I was a man. Nantucket fog feeder, I could hardly believe her.
See you on the next one. I am David Stooldrayer, creator and host. The show is edited by my co-host, Evan Miller. All original music created by Sean Bullock. You can follow him at Sean Bullock Video on Instagram. All original artwork done by Tannis. Follow her at Tannis Tattoos on Instagram as well. Thank you for listening.